get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here loud and wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you were 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
You know, all of the burning and bombing that was done to us and the houses, nobody never said too much about that, and nothing was done. But let something be burned, you know, by a black man, and then, my God, you know. You see, the flag is drenched with our blood. Because, you see, so many of our ancestors was killed because we have never accepted slavery. We had to live on it, but we've never wanted it. So we know that this flag is drenched with our blood. So what the young people are saying now, give us a chance to be young men, respected as a man. As we know, this country was built on the black backs of black people across this country. And if we don't have it, you ain't gonna have it either, because we gonna tear it up. That's what they saying. And people ought to understand that. I don't see why they don't understand it. They know what they've done to us. All across this country, they know what they've done to us. This country is desperately sick, and man is on the critical list. I really don't know where we go from here.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 297 of the report. And, yo, that was Fannie Lou Hamer, man. And let's put this into perspective. She said that almost 60 years ago. 60 years ago is when she said that. And here we are dealing with some of the same shit, dealing with some of the same issues, and fighting some of the same fucking causes, man, for real. But, yo, man, I felt like it was apropos to open up the show that way, with the words of the great Fannie Lou Hamer, because the things that she's talking about, man, we're dealing with those things right now here today. But yo, man, like I said, this is episode number 297 of the Span Report. And yo, this almost didn't happen. This almost didn't happen because for one, I just simply wasn't, like, I didn't have it in me to, like, even jump on the mic, man. I really didn't. Like, Thursday, I was just like, I wasn't feeling it. It was so much going on, so much I needed to read up on, so much I needed to catch up on. And then, like, so many things kept happening. I didn't know if it would be, something that I could really, like, kind of speak to. But, truth be told, not only do we have the George Floyd news is going on, but there's so much other news and so many other things that are kind of going on. And I didn't want this to be like such a heavy show. So I'm going to try to bring some levity to this, man. But at the same time, man, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, man, for real. There's a lot of heavy shit going on. So, I mean, I know, like, I'm not the comedian. I don't have a funny for you all the time, but at the same time, we got to kind of talk about this and we kind of got to let this shit out. And I'm going to open up the show tonight so that you guys can, if you're watching live, man, and you wanted to, like, kind of let your voice be heard, man, go ahead and hit up the show, and we can have a little bit of a dialogue, right? But before we get into everything show related, let me let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit us up at our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get played here live on the show, responded to in kind. And like I said, if you're watching us live here on Facebook and YouTube, you can hit up the show and we'll chop it up while we're doing the show tonight, right? So hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. You can leave us those emails, and of course we'll read those emails and reply to you guys here on the show. Hit us up on our website at www.thespanreport.com. You can go there and watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we put those polls up. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And of course, we really do appreciate all the monies over here at the Span Report Podcast, because this shit ain't free, man. It really ain't. So yeah, man, if you can go ahead and hit up the website. Also, you can go buy yourself some, you know, some stuff up out of our store. That's one way to kind of get to it, is to go to our store, get yourself a fly t-shirt or coffee mug or something like that, man. Real talk. And also shout out to our Patreon patrons who allow for us to do this show via you know, StreamYard, which allows for us to do this on YouTube and or Facebook. No matter how you're watching this, you get a chance to watch us on both of those platforms, so it's pretty dope. And shout out to our Patreon patrons who donate every month and allow for us to do it that way. They are the golden circle of the Spamport Podcast Network, man. Real talk. But also, man, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So you can go ahead and follow me there, chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time, man, really, to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network and the Span Report Podcast specifically, right? So yeah, we got that going on, man. Real talk. But yo, man, like I said, it has been a long week. It's been a rough week this week. So much shit has been going on, man. Of course, like I said, we got the George Floyd news that's going on. We've got coronavirus news that's going on, man. We've got political news that's going on, man. We've got like just some overall just natural craziness that's kind of happening throughout the world, man. And we're going to try to talk a little bit about it, man. We got some time today. We got some time. So I guess we can just go ahead and get right into it, because I ain't got a whole lot of random thoughts. So we're going to get right into the news. All right. And our first story here in the news is the fact that, yo, man, Memorial Day weekend came and went, and it was a whole lot of people out there at the vacation hotspots like the coronavirus was not a fucking thing. All right. We're going to get this story here. This comes out of Forbes.com. It says the packed boardwalks and wild lake parties on Memorial Day weekend happened as Dr. Birx warns that there could be no more than 10 people at an outdoor gathering. So, like I said, this comes out of Forbes.com. It says people crowded on boardwalks, partied on lakes, and packed into water parks around the country during Memorial Day weekend as all states have lifted social distancing in some way, while Dr. Deborah Birx hit the Sunday morning talk show circuit to warn others of gathering en masse. During this reopening, social gatherings should not be more than 10 people. Even if they're outside, said Dr. Birx on ABC News on Sunday morning. Scenes from Twitter show people waiting in line for Big Rivers Water Park in Texas, crowding Maryland's Ocean City Boardwalk, and partying en masse at Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. We know being outside does help. We know sun does help killing the virus, but that doesn't change the fact that people need to be responsible and maintain that distance, said Dr. Birx on Fox News. When pressed to answer whether the White House had made the right call in allowing states to reopen and have these large gatherings, Birx responded, "We want to be clear all the time that social distance all the time is absolutely critical. And if you can't find social distancing while you're outside, you must wear a mask." In contrast, a woman at the weekend river party in Arizona told Today, "I truly believe our mental health is as important as our physical health. We need to have fun." So I'm going to just say this here right now, man. I seen like a lot of this stuff, man. I didn't do a whole lot for Memorial Day weekend, man. Like normally I would have been in Chicago. My grandmother's birthday, my grandmother's 84th birthday was this Memorial Day weekend. I would have normally been in Chicago. I didn't go. You know, I'm back to work, man. I'm back to like being in strangers' houses and shit. Very seldom am I actually anywhere other than work and at home. Like I don't go a whole lot of places now because of what's going on. And even when I am out, you know, your boy got a mask on. I'm going to the store, I got a mask on. It's inconvenient, but I would rather be inconvenienced than to be dead. You know what I'm saying? And so I see a lot of people going out here. They doing the social. Well, they're not even doing the social distancing. They just feel like, yo, I've been in a house. It's warm outside. And this is the part of it where you listen to somebody like a Donald Trump, who ain't really taking this shit as seriously as he should be any fucking way. And he doesn't even wear a mask. And you got people who are making this a political thing as to whether or not you go outside and you don't wear a mask, and like if you see someone who's wearing a mask, suddenly like it's almost as if they're pointing out your political affiliation, whether you're wearing a mask or not. And I'm pretty sure this happens with me too. Like if I see somebody out here wearing a mask, being irresponsible, like depending on who they are and where I'm at, like I'm like, okay, that's a Trump supporter. It gotta be, because there ain't no way in hell like you should be walking around here without a fucking mask. And at the same time, I'm seeing some of these demonstrations happening, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, yo, where the fucking mask? Where are they? Like, there's so many people in concentrated areas, man, and I'm wondering, where are their fucking masks? And like, as much as I sympathize, and as much as I am in lockstep in solidarity with all of the people who are out there protesting and demonstrating and everything else, I'm still like, yo, where are y'all fucking masks at? Because truth be told, we've seen that the coronavirus has been disproportionately, infecting us. It's been disproportionately killing us. So for a lot of us to be out there and not practicing, you know, I'm sure it's difficult to practice social distancing and everything else with, you know, the demonstrations and there being so many people down there. But if you're not going to be able to do that, do yourself at least half a solid by wearing a mask so that you don't give it to someone else, because that's the reason why you wear the mask. It's not so that you don't catch it. It's so that if you do have it, you don't give it to someone else. You know what I'm saying? And so to see all these people, man, over the Memorial Day weekend just saying fuck it and chuck the deuces up, and like, it's almost as if they feel like the coronavirus just done did this.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out. No thanks. Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please.
It ain't did that, y'all. As a matter of fact, coronavirus is really just out here like,
I kill everybody up in this motherfucker.
That's really what it is, man. That's really what it is. So to see so many people just like kind of out this Memorial Day weekend, like not really taking it serious, not really practicing the social distancing, not really wearing the mask, man, it was disheartening. And then on top of that, you know, on the back end of this, as much as like, you know, people feel like, you know, the summer is going to help kill off the coronavirus, bro, I just get this like, we going to see another wave of this, man. And people want to be outside, and I understand and I get it. But at the same time, it's like, yo, we're going to be on lockdown a little bit further because people just aren't willing to inconvenience themselves a little bit so that we can all live, so that we can all be outside when it's time for us to be there, man. Real talk. So, yeah, man, that's in the news. Now, another thing that's in the news that I thought was this is actually some fucking good news for once, man. We don't really get a whole lot of good news around here as of late. But let me pull this up. I didn't even pull up my tags. Hold on, y'all. Bear with your boy. All right. So, this story here is actually some good news, man. We get news that a federal judge in Florida just gutted the law that made felons have to pay fines in order for them to regain their right to vote. All right, we get this story here. This comes out of the WashingtonPost.com. It says a federal judge has gutted a Florida state law requiring felons to pay all court fines and fees before they can register to vote, clearing the way for thousands of Floridians to register in time for the November presidential election. Republican lawmakers and Governor Ron DeSantis pushed the measure after Florida voters overwhelmingly approved a constitutional amendment in 2018 to expand voting rights to felons who have completed all terms of their sentence, including probation and parole. The law's backers said it was necessary to clarify the amendment, while critics said Republicans were trying to limit the effects of what would have been the largest expansion of the state's electorate since poll taxes and literacy tests were outlawed during the civil rights era. The law critics said had made it virtually impossible for most felons to register, either because of an inability to pay or because the state offered no way for them to know what they owe or whether they had already paid. U.S. District Judge Robert Hinkle agreed, likening the restrictive legislation to a tax and concluding that the state had not created a system that would allow felons to identify their financial obligations. The 24th Amendment precludes Florida from conditioning voting in federal elections on payment of these fees and costs, wrote Hinkle, who was appointed to the federal bench by President Bill Clinton, referring to the constitutional amendment that bans poll taxes. Now, I remember, and we talked about this here on the Span Report when this kind of happened, like the Florida voters overwhelmingly decided to amend their state constitution so that they would be able to have felons regain their right to vote. And it was a blatant fucking attempt at voter suppression for the Republican legislature there, for the Republican governor there. They're like, well, hold on, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put this little wrinkle in the program so that, yeah, they get to vote, but they got to do this. They got to pay this money before they be able to vote. And it's essentially a poll tax. Poll taxes are federally illegal, right? It's illegal for them to do that. But it was one of the ways in which Republicans are trying to put barriers in front of people in order to vote. And we're seeing so many different ways in which Republicans are trying to institute some sort of voter suppression across the country, whether it be poll taxes for felons, whether it be closing polling places in highly Democratic areas, whether that be forcing folks to vote in a pandemic, because that's what happened in Wisconsin just a couple months ago. Various different ways in which they're trying to keep you from not being able to vote by mail, right? So there's a whole lot of different ways that they're trying to keep you from being able to vote. And, you know, this is just one, a good news thing where like, a federal judge was able to kind of step in and say, hey, nah, this shit y'all pulling right here, it ain't gonna fly. And all of those felons or those former felons who have fulfilled their sentences will be able to register to vote and have their franchise reinstated for them to be able to have a say in what happens in the next election coming up in November. So, yeah, man, that's good news for once, right? But that's in the news. Another story that we get in the news, man, is, Kwame Kilpatrick is not getting his ass out of jail.
Man, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man, so we get this story here. This comes out of ClickOnDetroit.com. As a matter of fact, there's video attached to this, so I'm going to go ahead and pull this video up so you guys can kind of watch here right along with your boy. Let me do this here. Let's do that. And let's pull this up. And let's wait for them to like kind of load this shit up here. Like we ain't trying to do nothing today, you know? But let's see what they're talking about when it comes
local
to Kwame Kilpatrick.
Local 4 News starts now with a breaking news alert.
And that breaking news just in, former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick will not be getting out of federal prison. Claims first surfaced last week that the disgraced mayor would be getting an early release.
But off the top here tonight at 11, the official word coming late this evening from the Federal Bureau of Prisons, there will be no release, no home confinement. Mara McDonald live downtown, and she's been talking with some of Kilpatrick's supporters. Mara.
Devin, they are flabbergasted. Last week, the family had told some of its closest supporters that they had been given the approval that Kilpatrick was going to be out on home confinement because of the coronavirus. Well, fast forward to tonight, Department of Justice says, nope.
Kilpatrick's family told their immediate circle, including Detroit State Representative Sherry Gay Dangnogo, that they had been assured Kilpatrick was going to be released, likely June 10th, and that he had been moved into quarantine in preparation for that. His son Jonas posting this to his Instagram last Friday, the caption talking about how he couldn't wait to hug his father outside the prison walls with the hashtag Kwame Free. And then there was the email from the Ebony Foundation congratulating Kilpatrick on his early release. Now, fast forward to tonight. A statement from the Department of Justice just came out within the hour. It reads, on Tuesday, May 26th, the Federal Bureau of Prisons reviewed and denied inmate Kwame Kilpatrick for home confinement. Now, we wanted to make sure this was legit, so we confirmed it with the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Detroit. And here's where it stands. The family was told he would be getting home confinement. Tonight, it's not happening.
Back here live. Now realize that Kilpatrick was going to be getting out because of the coronavirus, but you will also remember back in February that a consortium of politicians, pastors, as well as business leaders appealed to President Trump directly to try and commute Kilpatrick's sentence. So far, no word on where that request stands with the White House. We're live downtown tonight. I'm Mara McDonald. Local 4.
Mara, it really is kind of stunning, the tangled wires, the bad messaging here that went around, how it got so far out of the barn without anything real behind it, I guess.
I will tell you, Devin, first of all, this is giving the people who believe this was happening whiplash. That's
sure.
Number one. Number two, they were sincere. I think that you wouldn't have seen some of the people talk about this last Friday who did unless they had been given the green light from the family that it was okay to say something. And I will tell you that the rumors surrounding this didn't start on Friday of last week. They started earlier. This was a whole thing. So they truly believe they were given approval that he was getting home confinement. How that has changed from Friday to today, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we will continue to follow their reactions as well. All right, Mara. All right, now let's get to...
All right. So here's the thing. And I was one of the people last week who was... I was very skeptical of the idea that Kwame Kilpatrick was going to be getting out of prison. And one of the reasons why I was kind of skeptical, and I talked about this story last week. I was skeptical because of, for one, there were very scant, there was very scant information as from anyone like in an official capacity that could speak to whether or not Kwame Kilpatrick was getting out of jail. We heard from Kwame Kilpatrick's former brother-in-law. We heard from one Karen Whitsitt. And this is, you know, this Karen Whitsitt lady is starting to look real crazy out here in these streets. She's a state representative here. She credits Donald Trump with, she credited Donald Trump with saving her life because she had COVID-19. She started taking hydroxychloroquine and she said that is what saved her life. And she credited Donald Trump for that. She said she spoke to Donald Trump and Donald Trump told her that Kwame Kilpatrick was going to be getting out of jail. She also asked Donald Trump, could they start a new historically black college and university here in Detroit?
God damn.
Yeah. Like she asked, like, I don't know if like the first letter in HBCU is H standing for historical. So like there's no such thing as a new historically black college. But these are the things that she went around saying. And then you've got Representative Gay Doug Nogo, who's been advocating for Kwame Kilpatrick to get out of jail for some time. Like, so you got a lot of people who are walking around looking kind of crazy because of the fact that they were out here saying that Kwame Kilpatrick was going to get out of jail. Again, wasn't coming from any official channels, though. So all of the people who were talking about Kwame Kilpatrick was getting out of jail, none of them had any official word from any official channels. And all of the damn like federal people were just like, man, what the hell are y'all talking about? Right. And then you got to think about it like this, too. One of the things about Kwame Kilpatrick being or getting out of jail, especially for like the COVID-19 or whatever else, is like if he was going to get out of jail for home confinement or early release, he hadn't really met the servitude requirements for that. So like he's served so far 7 years out of a 28 year sentence. Like had he been serving like maybe 14 or 16 years of a 21 year or 28 year sentence, maybe they would have considered it. But I think because of the fact that he's so early into his sentence still, that it would have been it's still too early for that. So there was a lot of people who probably had a long line of folks who were ahead of Kwame Kilpatrick when it came to getting out of jail early on the basis of the COVID-19 pandemic reaching into the prisons and everything. But I just think that like the local media to a large degree, it like kind of holds a big L right now because they ran with this story. They ran with it so much so that your man Span was talking about it last week. Like, yo, man, I was skeptical of it the whole time. I'm like, I don't know, man. It ain't coming from nowhere official, but the local media ran with it as if Kwame Kilpatrick was going to get out of jail. And then you had local government officials or like local, elected officials who were also kind of running with it, saying like Kwame Kilpatrick was going to get out of jail. And we find out later now Kwame Kilpatrick going to be like at the crib. So, yeah, man, that's in the news. Craziness as it is, that is in the news. Now, another story that we got here in the news is your man Donald Trump. For those of you who voted for that sack of shit, Donald Trump has decided that he will, this motherfucker threatened to shut down social media because Twitter decided that they were going to actually start fact checking his tweets. Yeah, man. So we're going to read this story here. Let me pull this up. This actually comes out of, The Independent. All right. This is like a European English, website. So we're going to read the story. This comes out of The Independent. It says Donald Trump has threatened to close down social media platforms that do not support his agenda a day after Twitter posted a fact-checking notice on one of his tweets. Social media firms suppressed conservative points of view, the president claimed, without providing any evidence, before saying his administration would strongly regulate the companies or close them down before we can ever allow this to happen. Mr. Trump advised the companies to clean up your act now. It is unclear whether the president's professed goal could be compatible with the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. You know he ain't read that shit. Y'all know he ain't read that shit. On Wednesday, he tweeted, "Republicans feel that social media platforms totally silence conservative voices. We will strongly regulate or close them down before we could ever allow this to happen. We saw what they attempted to do and failed in 2016. We can't let a more sophisticated version of that happen again." Okay, so let's stop right there for a second. Okay? Because here's the thing that I kind of want to like get across for y'all. The idea that social media has any sort of responsibility towards your First Amendment rights is bullshit, right? I think we've talked about this on the show before. When you join Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever fucking social media platform you're a part of, your rights on that site are regulated by the terms and conditions by which you agree to when you join said site. Those are your rights on that site. They don't have any obligation whatsoever to let you do any fucking thing on that site if it violates the terms and like the terms and agreements that you agreed to, the terms and conditions that you agreed to when you joined that site. So Donald Trump has really been kind of getting away with the fact that because he's president of the United States, he's been getting away with a lot of shit that most normal folks would never get away with. Right. A lot of us would have been kicked off of the platform a long time ago if we didn't have the position that Donald Trump has. Right. We would already been kicked off. Had Donald Trump just been a regular motherfucker, he'd have been kicked off a long time ago. People would have reported him. He'd have had to come up with a whole other account, this, that, and the other. People have had to do that. Right. You also like this idea that conservative voices are being shut down on social media sites. I find it hard to believe. Right. Only because, for one, I know far too many people on the left, or far too many people who are like activists on the left, who have been shut down or had their platform shut down, who have had to come up with additional profiles and shit, myself included, having to come up with additional profiles because they've been put in like Facebook jail, Twitter jail, or whatever. They've been shut down for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. You know what I'm saying? Because of some of the things that they've expressed on these social media platforms, right? And some of the times, like, you can tell that the people who are behind the decisions to whether or not you're going to be shut down or whether or not your page can be reinstated, a lot of the times this shit is arbitrary as hell, and the people behind it don't even know the cultural significance or the cultural relevance of how this communication is being how it's being meted out, right? And so if I'm having a conversation with with some black people, and we have like, you know, a dialogue that some white person may find offensive, the white person comes into this conversation, they're on the outside of the conversation, but they come in, they see something that they find offensive, suddenly our conversation is being cut short, and we are being booted off the platform, despite the fact that we're having a conversation amongst ourselves, and this white person decided this conversation was offensive to them, yada 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 yada, right? So the idea that conservative voices are the only ones that are being shut down or monitored on social media is bullshit in and of itself. The second thing that I want to kind of get at is the idea that conservative voices are targeted on social media, and more often than not, and here's the thing that's like even more tripped out. More often than not, like, conservatives are on these social platforms the same way that we're on these social platforms. Now, if conservatives felt like these social media platforms were not like welcoming to them, if they were not accommodating to their presence, you know what I would like? You would think that there would be some sort of conservative fucking, computer programmer, someone who has like the funding of, you know, Republicans tend to have money, right? Like, they have some sort of like capital so that they can build their own sort of like conservative conglomerate of a social media platform. But no, rather than do that, they get on a platform where they go out and they say some foul shit. People don't agree with the shit that they say, and they find that what's happening is this. Conservatives go to social media and find out that their point of view is on the minority of a lot of shit, right? Conservatives go on social media, find out that their point of view isn't the point of view of the vast majority of people, and find out they're like, yo, man, this shit that I think, a lot of motherfuckers don't really fuck with it. And now, rather than accept that and defend their point based on the principle of it. No, they're like, no, y'all are targeting me because of this point of view that I have. And it's bullshit, man. If you felt like you weren't welcome there, go someplace where you feel more welcome, right? But that's not what they do. What they'll do is they'll say like they're targeting conservatives, despite the fact that there's a whole lot of people on the left, a whole lot of liberals that are also being kicked off of these platforms, because Facebook especially doesn't necessarily feel like they have to, they don't have to like monitor certain sorts of conversation. Mark Zuckerberg just kind of went out and said that after Twitter decided that they were going to fact check Donald Trump. Now, getting back to the whole thing about Donald Trump and Twitter, though, Donald Trump came out and he was acting as though Twitter Twitter censored him. They didn't censor him. They didn't take his tweet down. His tweet is still available. You can still go there and see it. What they did was they fact checked Donald Trump. And see, here's the thing. Donald Trump goes out and lies all the fucking time, right? Donald Trump is a habitual liar, we need to call it, instead of calling it habitual, we need to just call it Trumpian liar. You a Trumpian fucking liar. That's what we need to call it. Trumpian liar, because he lies all the fucking time. Right. So if you got somebody who's lying all the fucking time, and then you got some people accommodating to the lies, right? Like they're accommodating to these lies. The mere idea that somebody would say, nah, man, that ain't right. That's some bullshit. Like it's galling to them. Like there's a whole parallel universe, a alternate dimension that like conservatives or like especially Trump supporters kind of live in compared to the rest of the world. Man, these motherfuckers have a completely different worldview on the same shit. Like this is the point. This is the thing about social media at this point. Is that we've allowed so many fringe voices. I'm sorry, Granny, but hold on a second. We've allowed so many fringe voices to have an opinion on a lot of things that is getting to a point where, like, of course, everybody feels like their opinion is valid, myself included, because, you know, you got to have like an outsized ego to get your ass on the mic and just like say what you want to say, right? But like, we've got so many people who have fringe voices who get on social media and say all these crazy things to a point where we feel like we have to give equal weight to these fringe ideas when we really don't have to, man. You know, we used to have a place, right? There used to always be like these crazy niggas that like would say crazy stuff all the time. And what would we do? This is before social media. What would we do? We would ignore their asses, right? Kind of can't do that now because some of those crazy people now are our friends. Some of those crazy people now our uncles and our aunties and shit. You know what I'm saying? So like when you got all this craziness just kind of about going out and about, you can't necessarily like now you find yourself like, man, do I really need to like block such and such like off my Facebook feed? Cause this nigga saying some craziness and I don't really feel like arguing with him. You know what I'm saying? Or do like, I might just have to mute them rather than just like kind of like unfriend them. You just like unfollow them on Facebook. Like some of the people like, you know, they're saying some craziness rather than just like unfriend them. You just unfollow them. And so you don't see none of the stuff that they say anymore. Like you kind of have to do that because like to even like preserve some level of a relationship with the people. Cause sometimes you love these folks. Sometimes you love these people, but you can't necessarily just kind of cut them off. So like what they don't know is you done unfollowed them. You ain't seeing none of the stuff that they saying. But they see everything that you're saying, right? Like they see all of the stuff that you're saying. But like there's this thing, man, where like we've allowed so many fringe voices to become part of the mainstream to where like now even the crazy people feel like they shit is like valid. And it's like, nah, it ain't. It really ain't, man. Like that's stupid. It's really stupid what you're saying right now. So yeah, man, the idea that Donald Trump is out here talking about he's gonna shut down Twitter when Twitter, here's the other part about it, right? I didn't block you, TT. Here's the other thing about this, though, right? So Donald Trump, he called himself signing an executive order that's going to take away like legal protections from social media if you say something foul on their site, right? Here's the thing, though. I don't think this is going to have the effect that Donald Trump thinks is going to have on the website, because what's going to happen is this. It's going to lead to more censorship on the site, right? Because if they're liable for the crazy stuff that people say on the site, then what are they going to do? They're going to kick that person off the site. They're going to take that status off the site because they don't want to be held liable for the craziness that their users are putting on the site. So it's not going to have the effect that he thinks is going to have, because if he thinks he's being censored now, trust and believe. If Facebook and Twitter, Snapchat, and all these other like social media platforms can be sued for the things that the users say on the platform, trust and believe, all that stuff getting kicked up off of there. All of us getting kicked up off of there. So Donald Trump connects. This is how he feels like he connects with his base. He can go straight to Twitter and talk to the people he want to talk to. He can bypass the media. That was part of the reason why he was so popular. He was able to bypass the media, get his message straight to the people. And if he can't get his message straight to the people, guess what he just did? He just shot himself in the foot. He just shot himself in the foot because he was mad that they had the audacity to fact check him on all of the lies that he's telling. So, yeah, man, that's in the news. We got some more news, man. We got, like I said, there's a lot of news tonight, man, for real. Like a lot of news. But we got another story here in the news. Donald Trump has also decided that he's going to veto a student loan forgiveness bill that just came through last week.
God damn!
So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of, let me pull this story up. This comes out of, this also comes out of Forbes. All right. And let's, okay. That's different. Okay, so we're going to pull this story up. This comes out of Forbes.com. It says that the student loan forgiveness bill is a widely his veto of it was in a widely expected move. Trump vetoed congressional legislation that would have overturned a key student loan forgiveness rule drafted by the U.S. Department of Education under the leadership of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. In March, the U.S. Senate voted 53-42 to overturn a new student loan forgiveness rule introduced by U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos that critics argue limits student loan forgiveness for students when a college closes due to fraud. All Senate Democrats and 10 Republicans voted on a bipartisan basis. The House of Representatives overturned the rule in January by a vote of 231-180. The student loan forgiveness rules are known as borrower defense to repayment, which allows students who have had their federal student loans forgiven if a school employed illegal or deceptive practices to encourage the students to borrow debt to attend the school. Without these rules, students are potentially on the hook to repay federal student loans even if they didn't find gainful employment or finish their degree before their school closed. The original rules were issued during the Obama administration. However, DeVos rewrote the rules to narrow the requirements to receive student loan forgiveness. Now, here's the other part, right? So, I know a lot of folks went to like, you know, what was that? ITT Tech, you know, like, or Everest College, or what's the school I went to? Westwood College of Technology. Like, we kind of went to those schools that like advertise to you during the day when, like, you know, you would be watching Jenny Jones or Jerry Springer or something like that. Like, hey man, get up off the couch, man. You ain't doing nothing with your life, man. You need to go ahead and get to school. It ain't that hard, bruh. Like, y'all remember those commercials, you know what I'm saying? So like, they used to advertise those things, and like, more often than not, when you would go to those schools, you didn't get a Pell Grant a lot of times to go to those schools. A lot of times, the only funding that you would get, ICDC. Yeah, a lot of times you wouldn't get, like the federal financial aid that you would get would be in the form of student loans. That was all you were getting, right? And so, shout out to me being, like, just now, I just paid off my Westwood College of Technology loans. I was there in, like, 2002. I just paid that off last year. You know what I'm saying? Shout out. And then on top of that, they never taught me a damn thing. Everything I saw in that school, I had already taught myself. It's kind of crazy, right? But yeah, man, like, these schools a lot of times were predicated on just getting the funding from the federal government in the form of student loans. And so a lot of people went to these schools. They did not get, or when they did get a diploma from these schools, what they were finding was the employment numbers that these schools were advertising in their commercials were fraudulent. Like, yo, man, like 87% of our students go right into the workforce. And then you find out, like, yo, man, am I a part of the 13% or the 17% of the people who ain't going to, like, getting the job? Like, what's going on here? And so a lot of people, the hotline is open. The hotline is always open. Area code 313-288-0485. But a lot of people were going to these schools, and you know, they weren't going to the fields that they were going to study for. And you were on the hook for those loans, man. And it's hard to like pay off a student loan when you can't find a job in the field in which you thought you were going to go into, right? Fortunately for me, I was able to kind of get into a position where, like, yeah, they were paying me enough money where I could make, you know, some payments on my loan. But a lot of folks aren't as fortunate, you know what I'm saying? And so the idea that the Trump administration also here's the other part about it. The Trump administration has a lot of people who vote for Donald Trump who also would have qualified for this student loan forgiveness program, who won't be able to take advantage of this. And it's weird to like kind of see a lot of people kind of vote against their own interests. And we kind of talked about that when it came to like people voting for at-will employment as opposed to being able to join a union. There's a lot of people who are voting on a lot of economic issues, but they're voting against their own interests in a lot of these cases. So the fact that the Trump administration did this isn't surprising. And Betsy DeVos, because, you know, we know she's a trash ass, like, you know, Secretary of Education. She has never been a part of public education a day in her life before she got appointed to this position. But the fact that the Trump administration would do that, I mean, it's not surprising, but it's still news, right? So that's in the news. And our last story here in the news is the RNC, the Republican National Committee chair, has just sued the state of California because they're going to start sending mail-in ballots to the voters in their state. But here's the thing. She's suing them for doing that. She's been voting in the Michigan elections for the last 10 years herself by mail. All right, we're going to pull this story up. Where do we get it from? We get this from Salon.com. It says, records show that Rona McDaniel voted by mail. Sounds familiar? So did Kayleigh McEnany, who is the press secretary at the for Donald Trump. And so did Kellyanne Conway, who's also an advisor to Donald Trump. So did Donald Trump. All right. So like I said, we get this story here. This comes out of Salon.com. It says Republican National Committee Chairwoman Rona McDaniel frequently voted by mail before leading a lawsuit against California over the state's mail voting expansion, according to voting records. McDaniel announced on Sunday that the RNC, the National Republican Congressional Committee, and the California Republican Party had sued Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom after he announced that all registered voters in the state will receive mail-in ballots for the upcoming elections. Newsom's illegal power grab is a recipe for disaster that would destroy the confidence Californians deserve to have in the security of their vote, she said in a statement. But in voting records provided to Salon by the advocacy group Progress Michigan show that McDaniel has voted absentee in Michigan's election for years, including earlier this year. Voting by mail is safe and secure, and Rona Romney McDaniel knows that because she's used the process herself several times over the years. Lonnie Scott, the executive director of Progress Michigan, said the fact that she and the Republican Party infrastructure are suing California to try and stop them from keeping their electorate healthy and safe using mail-in voting is rank with hypocrisy. So here's the thing, right? And we've talked about this on the show quite a bit, man. Voter suppression is very real. Voter apathy is very real. But voter suppression is a very real thing. And so it was interesting last week when the Secretary of State here in Michigan decided that she was going to send out applications to those who were registered to vote be able to vote by mail, because we did have a referendum here in 2018 and we voted overwhelmingly to approve it, to where like you didn't have to have a reason if you wanted to vote absentee. And I sent my application in yesterday, right? I sent my application in yesterday because I can't wait. I cannot wait to vote, right? Real talk. As soon as they send me that ballot, that boy is going right back out with my votes on it, right? And so this is just another thing with the Republican Party as they try to suppress the access to the ballot, right? They don't want more people to have access to the ballot. They already know that if more people have access to the ballot, then they lose. They lose. Republicans and conservatives are on the minority in this country. Let's get this straight. They are the minority in this country. So if they can suppress the amount of people who have the ability to go out to the polls and vote, or if they can suppress the ability for you to have mail-in ballots, they will do so. This is why Donald Trump wants to defund the post office. Because if you can vote by mail, then guess what? He's out of there. Guess what also happens? Donald Trump goes to jail. Right. Let's keep that a buck right now. If Donald Trump loses this presidential election come November, Donald Trump knows there's a very real possibility he's going to prison. And this is why he's going to try to pull out all of the stops to try to keep you from being able to vote by mail. And also, like, also think about this. Donald Trump is telling y'all to go back outside. Right. Donald Trump don't give a damn whether or not y'all get coronavirus or not. He don't care at all. You know what I'm saying? Because truth be told, Donald Trump is going to be protected. Donald Trump is, people around him getting tested all the time. Donald Trump is probably getting tested all the time, right? He's like, he's protected, but you ain't. So if you're going to just be up out of there, like if you're going to be on outside, man, going to the store with no mask on, you're going to be doing all these other things mingling with people, not giving a damn whether or not coronavirus is out there, just like just kind of going around like everything is everything. Guess what? It starts whittling down who's going to be able to go vote in November, because either one, you're going to be sick, too sick to go vote, or two, you might not be here to vote. And that's cool with Donald Trump so long as you ain't here to vote. Right. So you just got to kind of pay attention to what's going on here, man. They are trying to limit your ability to exercise your franchise, man. They do not want more people having access to the ballot. And it was a very energized, you know, electorate on the left side of the field, man, because, again, Republicans, conservatives, as many of them as there are in this country, they are the minority in this country. And this is why they try to pull these sorts of stunts off. If they can kind of keep you from being able to vote, if they can keep felons off of the ballots, if they can keep you from being able to mail in your vote, if they can close your polling places, if they can give you faulty voting machines, if they can limit the amount of voting machines in the polling places, they will do that. They will do that. So, yeah, man, the fact that Rona McDaniel and Kayleigh McEnany, Donald Trump, and Kellyanne Conway, all of these people who are telling you about how illegal it is for you to be able to vote by mail, and all of them are doing it them damn selves right now. Come on, man. Y'all know what the game is. Y'all know what the game is. So, yeah, man, that has been our news. But y'all know what time it is.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, our first story here in blue blazes is it's kind of a salacious one, man. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. This is kind of some BS, man, for real. But apparently, resident internet troll who sometimes puts out music, Azealia Banks, says she slept with Dave Chappelle, just basically, I guess, to get some goddamn attention.
And that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
So there's video attached to this. Let me go ahead and pull this video up, see what this troll is actually talking about. She's got pink hair now. I don't like this woman, man. We had a little thing on social media between the two of them. I don't like her. Let's just put that out there. But let's see. Okay, so there's the video. Let me pull the video up so y'all can pull this, so y'all can watch right along with your boy. Let me do this here. All right, so let's see what this troll is talking about.
Like, I have actually fucked a lot of fucking very powerful fucking men, and you will fucking gag if I spill all the fucking tea and ruin all the fucking marriages. Cause it's a lot of tea that I be wanting to spill on y'all black niggas, especially like when y'all be seeing me getting attacked in the media and shit, and y'all don't come to my rescue and shit like that. Like, Dave Chappelle, I should ruin your fucking marriage. I should ruin your fucking marriage. I should tell the fucking world that we fucked. That we fucked. You got some good dick, nigga. I should tell the whole fucking world that we fucked. Cause y'all niggas don't look out for me, so what the fuck I'm keeping secrets for y'all niggas for?
Okay, I'm gonna just say this right now. If what she's saying is true right now, yo, Dave Chappelle, man, what the hell were you thinking? Like, real talk, like, what were you thinking, Dave Chappelle? Like, of all the people in Hollywood that you could have been messing around with, this is what you did? Like her? Like, understand, man? Like, Azealia Banks is is a troll, bro. Like, Azealia Banks keeps the BS going. Azealia Banks, her name is never attached to anything good. Why would any of y'all deal with her in that way? Right? Azealia Banks is supposed to be like a singer. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's a singer or some shit like that. We don't know Azealia Banks for no songs, bro. Like, nobody really knows Azealia Banks for any music that she's been putting out. We know her for all the BS. Right, we know Azealia Banks for all the BS on social media. That was her as a matter of fact, if we gonna go back, that was her beef with me, because I said that years ago, like, man, when is she gonna put out some music? Because every time I see her name, it's attached to some bullshit every time. And here it is, she's on social media, she's getting attention, and I'm a part of the problem right now, but she's getting attention because of the BS that she keeps herself attached to. Still ain't heard none of the music though. Where is the music? You know what I'm saying? And Annette's in the chat room. She's like, yo, man, exactly what was he thinking? I'm trying to find the same thing out. What was Dave Chappelle thinking? You know what I'm saying? If what she's saying is true, because here's the other part about it. You know, it is Azealia Banks. We don't really know if what she's saying has any validity to it, right? Don't really know that. You know, the girl is not necessarily, she's not necessarily like, you know, all the way there, at least to me, right? And then TT is in there. She's like, a quarantine got everybody messed. I guess so, man. I hope, I don't know if we could use that as an excuse for, like, for Dave Chappelle, though, right? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure Dave Chappelle, like, he's Dave Chappelle. He's got, you know, he's got fans all over the world. He's got women that are willing to kind of, you know, risk it all for him. You know what I'm saying? But, like, her? Like, why would he, you know, maybe it's a part of a bit. Maybe they got a thing going. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he got some jokes coming out. You know what I'm saying? It's going to have Azealia Banks attached to him. This, that, and the other. You know, Netflix is giving him a whole lot of money to be coming out with these comedy specials. Maybe, just maybe, Dave Chappelle got that going on. He like, yo, go on here, say this, and we gonna talk about it on my next comedy special. I'm just gonna give him that out. But that's in the new. That's in Blue Blazes. Now, another story that we got here in Blue Blazes, and it's actually kind of funny. But apparently, Kylie Jenner of the Kardashian clan isn't the billionaire that she has once been called by Forbes magazine, because they decided to like say she's not a billionaire because she provided fraudulent financial records in order to get that designation. So yeah, let's see what the I'm confused by this. So let me go ahead, pull this story up. I believe this comes out of Forbes, ironically. So Forbes then gave and took away her billionaire status. As a matter of fact, so this comes out of TMZ. We get this out of TMZ. Do they have video with this? They do not. So we're going to read the story here. Like I said, this comes out of TMZ. It says, Kylie's legal team is now involved in the situation. Attorney Michael Kump tells us, we have reviewed Forbes' article accusing Kylie of engaging in deceit and a web of lies to inflate her net worth. The article is filled with outright lies. Forbes' accusation that Kylie and her accountants forged tax returns is unequivocally false, and we're demanding that Forbes immediately and publicly retract that and other statements. Kump continues, it is sad that of all things, Forbes has devoted three reporters to investigate the effect of the coronavirus crisis on Kylie's net worth. We would not expect that from a supermarket tabloid, much less Forbes. It says Kylie is firing back at Forbes, saying, what am I even waking up to? I thought this was a reputable site. All I see are a number of inaccurate statements and unproven assumptions. I've never asked for any title or tried to lie my way there ever, period. She continues by quoting the article, even creating tax returns that were likely forged. What? That's your proof? So you just thought they were forged? Like, actually, what am I reading? Finally, she said, but okay, I'm blessed beyond my years. I have a beautiful daughter and a successful business, and I'm doing perfectly fine. I can name a list of 100 things more important right now than fixating on how much money I have, while also, grabbing lawyers to worry about how much money you have and whether or not Forbes acknowledges it. Okay. It says Kylie Jenner's billionaire status got yanked by Forbes, which originally named her the youngest one ever. And the mag claims it was all because the Jenners intentionally lied. Forbes is blasting Kylie and her mom, Kris Jenner, for what it claims was a web of lies surrounding the success of Kylie Cosmetics. It all centers on the company's financials from 2016 to 2018. Remember, Forbes crowned her the world's youngest ever self-made billionaire in August of 2018. I'm going to just tell you right now, that's some rich people problems right there, man, for real. I know people had their qualms and shit about whether or not it was about her being self-made, considering the fact that like she was born into a family that was already like millionaires, and her sister turned a sex tape into like a multi-million dollar like kind of enterprise with the reality show and the video games and the fashion. Like they really did parlay that, man. Ray J, like, I know Ray J is somewhat mad in the mug, like, because I know Ray J, he got bread, but he ain't got Kardashian bread, man. Like they sprung that boy out like boom, you know what I'm saying? So the idea that Kylie was like her, like a self-made billionaire, was always a little far-fetched, because like, yo man, you came from money. Like, hey, how self-made are you when your family got a television show chronicling y'all lives every day, right? But yo man, Forbes is saying she ain't no billionaire no more, but I tell you what, it ain't gonna keep her from getting there, because like people really rock with them, you know what I'm saying? As much as I don't, people really do rock with them. So yo man, that's in the news. That's in Blue Blazes, as a matter of fact. Now another story here that's in Blue Blazes is Faith Evans and Stevie J, they actually are having some troubles, man, to the point where it looked like Faith Evans didn't put hands on Stevie J.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. No wonder you get D's and everything.
I'm just reporting it, man. I'm just saying. But we get the story here. This comes out of TMZ, too. It says Faith Evans has found herself in some legal trouble because we've learned the singer was arrested after allegedly attacking Stevie J. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ Faith was arrested earlier this week at around 1 a.m. after cops called her in her called to her L.A. home. We're told Faith and Stevie got into a heated argument, and at some point it turned violent. Our sources say when cops showed up, they noticed visible marks and scratches on Stevie's face. It's unclear what triggered the argument, but in any event, cops arrested Faith and booked her on felony domestic violence. Faith bonded out later that day. The arrest comes nearly a year after the couple desperately tried to downplay rumors that their marriage was in trouble. As we first reported, there was a palpable tension after our camera guy got the couple leaving the Essence Festival in New Orleans. Our guy asked him if there was trouble in paradise that the Faith and Stevie unfollowed each other on social media, not to mention Stevie's cryptic string of tweets from drunk people always speak their truth and one's insecurities can damage them to all that glitters ain't gold and cherish what you love just knowing nothing will last forever. We reached out to Faith and Stevie so far, no comment or word back. So, yo man, real talk. Love and hip hop. Gonna be lit, nigga. It's gonna be lit, boy. They're gonna have Stevie and Faith on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta when they come back, and it's gonna be a real big storyline because, you know, like they keep Stevie on like the promos and stuff, but like I don't even think he might have showed up in like two and a half three episodes or something like that. This is the storyline he needed to get back in the game, man. That's what it is, man. I like, truthfully speaking, all of these reality TV stars, man, when they have like trouble like this here, I'm always thinking like cynically, like, yo, this is going to be real dope for the show. You know what I'm saying? This is what they're going to do. It's going to be tied into the show, man. We're going to get the social media stuff. All of that stuff's going to be wrapped all into it. So, yeah, man. Real talk, I kind of hope they are. Right. But if they ain't, you know, like I said, it's going to be like fodder for like Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, as it always is. But that has been Blue Blazers, y'all.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
But y'all know what time it is. All right, that's enough of that shit. It's Proud to Be in America time here at the Spare Report Podcast. And our first story here in Proud to Be an American is, the officer who was kneeling on George Floyd's neck. He has been arrested. We get this story here. This comes out of FoxNewsDetroit.com. It says the Minnesota police officer Derek Colvin was arrested Friday in the death of George Floyd. Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington said Colvin was later charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Colvin was seen in a video kneeling on George Floyd's neck as Floyd repeatedly says, "I can't breathe." The officer continued to press his knee into Floyd's neck even after he lost consciousness. None of the other officers at the scene attempted to check on Floyd until after the ambulance arrived, despite bystanders' pleas. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman announced charges Friday against Derek Colvin, one of the Minneapolis police officers involved in the death of George Floyd. This is by far the fastest we've charged a police officer, and it wasn't fucking fast enough. Freeman pointed out that the third-degree murder charge is the same one that he filed against former Minneapolis police officer Muhammad Noor, a case he ultimately won. Noor shot and killed Justine Damon in 2017 after she called police to report a possible sexual assault in the alley behind her South Minneapolis home. Freeman was asked if the escalating unrest in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and surrounding cities influenced his decision to file charges so quickly. He said, "I'm not insensitive to what's happening in the streets," adding that protesters have been outside his home all week as well. Colvin was seen in the video kneeling on George Floyd's neck as Floyd repeatedly says, "I can't breathe." The officer continued to press his knee into Floyd's neck even after he lost consciousness. None of the other officers at the scene attempted. Okay, so they just like kind of double back on what they already said. But here's the thing, man. Real talk is, as much as people are upset, and I've been seeing it on my social media, I know people are upset with the idea that the protesters are out and like the numbers that they are in. They're upset at the amount of damage that's happening. They're upset with the looting that's going on. But I'm gonna tell you something right now, man. They don't arrest this dude. They don't put this guy behind bars and hold him, I guess, until it's time for him to go to trial or whatever else. They don't do any of that unless people go to the streets and like press the issue. because they were cool with this dude being out on the streets. Like, the mayor of the city was like, yo, man, why is this guy not locked up? You got, like, the world is upside down, man, where you got people like Meghan McCain talking about this dude needs to be locked up. You've got Republicans coming out of the woodwork like, yo, even the coons, man, like even like C.J. Pearson, like came out and was like, yo, like he needed to be locked up and all sorts of stuff. Like, it's crazy how the world is on his head right now. And I don't believe that this dude gets locked up had it not been for the people going to the streets and making their voices heard in a forceful way with a lot of civil disobedience and everything else. Right. So you got that going on. Now, the other part that the other aspect to this is that we've seen so many different demonstrations. We've seen so many different, like, it's happening across the country. It's even happening in Utah, man. Like, in Utah, people are demonstrating there. It's happening all across the country. And one of the things that I've been seeing on my social medias that I think was very disheartening was the fact that we got a lot of black people who take it upon themselves to shit on other black people because they're expressing their anger in a way that you wouldn't. Now, I know for me personally, although I agree with a lot of the things that I agree with the demonstrations. And my wife asked me this the other day, she said, you know, would I protest? And the truthful answer is I would. But I'm responsible for too much, right? I'm responsible for too much. I got too many people dependent upon me to jeopardize myself being out there in that way. So I can't be out there in the way that those people are out there in that way. Some of these, it's like a lot of young people out there who are pressing the issue and making their voices heard and everything else, right? I get it. I swear to God, I get it. I'm angry as hell too. I'm tired of seeing black people die at the hands of the police needlessly. You know what I'm saying? We went through this with, you know, like the Black Lives Matter movement starting, you know, pretty much on the backs of the deaths of Trayvon Martin and Mike Brown. And then we started hearing the names of people like Rekia Boyd and Sandra Bland and Eric Garner and Travis Scott. We start hearing all these different names adding to the list of people who were dying needlessly at the hands of the police. And then you start seeing it get to a point now over the course of the last few months where even the white folks who ain't the police feel like they can be the police and just kill you because they see you jogging and felt like you might have stole some shit. Right? So I get it, man. I get the anger. I get the hurt, man. People are hurting. People are upset, bro. And I ain't mad at them for being out there expressing that, because had they not been out there expressing that, guess what? We don't see this police officer get any charges whatsoever. He was sitting at home for 4 days, bro. How many of y'all know anybody who was charged and everybody saw him kill somebody and they got to sit at home for 4 days? How many of us know anybody like that? Not that they were like on the run hiding and shit. Nothing like that. But how many of us know people like that? Very seldom, very, very few, like few of us do, right? And so I get the anger. And so, like, one of the things that's like that kind of pisses me off is when I see us admonishing them because they out there expressing that anger while we on social media talking shit about them, right? Here's the thing, and I think I don't know if people like really think about this is in this way, but to a large degree, there's a lot of black people who buy into the bullshit that white people say about black people. Right? You get a lot of black people who will tell you about black on black crime in a time like this, right? And they never really think about, like, you know, why is it like they never even think that bringing up black on black crime in a time where people are protesting the death of a black person at the hands of the police could also be seen as a black on black crime, right? Like, why are you doing that? Because first of all, and this is probably the last time I'm ever going to talk about this shit on the podcast because I'm tired of explaining it, but you should expect more from the police than you do any knucklehead in the street, right? We should be able to expect more from the police because their charge is to protect and serve, right? Do they do that perfectly all the time? Absolutely not. We see it all the time. Y'all already know I'm not necessarily an advocate for the police. I feel like the only time I ever had the police in my presence is when they're imposing themselves upon me. I don't necessarily care for the police. I don't really feel like the police is here to protect me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, yo, if some shit goes down, guess what? The police coming after the shit goes down. They're not going to be there in the moment. What am I going to do to protect myself in the moment? Because I got to wait for them to show up, right? So when it comes to black people talking down to other black people who are upset and fed up with the actions of the police, I'm looking at you sideways, man. I'm like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously, what is wrong with you? Because we've, by and large, bought into the idea of the pathology of black people. We think the worst of our damn selves, right? We'll think the worst of ourselves, man. We bought into that bullshit. So you'll have black people talking about, what about black on black crime? Like, nigga, you around black people all the time. This is why the crime is a black on black. The same way that white people are always killing white people. Because they around white people all the damn time, you fool. Your crime is a product of your proximity. You around these people all the time. Guess who you had the most opportunity to commit a crime against? The people you around all the time, fool. So this idea like of bringing up black on black crime is stupid. It's a racist talking point. I'm sick of niggas perpetuating that shit. I'm tired of seeing y'all get out on social media talking about some, man, why we always tearing up our own shit. It ain't us. It ain't us. So check it, right? You've been seeing all over social media videos, people going live. It's cell phones everywhere. You've been seeing videos of all of the demonstrations that are happening across the country. You've also been seeing reports of people who call themselves being our allies, involving themselves in criminal activity, and black people being blamed for it. As a matter of fact, you've also had the mayor of St. Paul say, yo, man, everybody we arrested in the St. Paul during these demonstrations, none of these people are even from here. We don't know them. They don't go here. You had the chief of police here in Detroit talk about the vast majority of the people that they arrested in Detroit. They not from here. Right. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and pull those up because I got those videos. They talking about this as much as black people look like I'm sick of black people blaming us for a lot of shit that we don't really have the blame for. We don't have to take the blame for a lot of this shit. We don't have to point the finger at us all the fucking time, man. And I'm sick of it. So let me go ahead and pull this up, man, because this is beyond stupid. As a matter of fact, this is video of the Pittsburgh chief of police also saying that it's white males dressed up as white males who are out here perpetuating a lot of the crime in the demonstrations that are happening in Pittsburgh. So let me pull this video up so y'all can watch this right along with me. Let's see. Let's do this right here. All right, come on, let's act like we're trying to do something today, computer. Let's do this. Come on, baby. Don't do this to me right now. All right, let's see what he's talking about.
And supported a First Amendment right to gather and say more must be done. And then it was hijacked. And it was hijacked by a group of individuals who put their own self-interest above the interest of the movement, who took away from those organizers and those who wanted to have a voice about social justice and the demands that are needed in order to be able to see real change happen, and not only jeopardized that movement and that mission, but at the same time put the lives of the individuals in jeopardy. The individuals who they marched with 2 hours beforehand, and who they said that they were a part of being able.
Okay, for whatever reason, they cut their video off short, right? But that's not the only one. That's not the only one. So we got another one here. This comes out of St. Paul. The mayor of St. Paul, Minnesota, also talking about the the amount of people that they've arrested in that city during those demonstrations. He's talking about a lot of those people weren't even from the city of St. Paul or Minneapolis, but they were bringing that trouble into the city, bringing a lot of anarchy into the city while they were trying to demonstrate peacefully. So we let's see. It's taking a little bit for this this video to load up. Whoops. Didn't mean to do that. Ah, screw it. It's taking too long.
I got coverage shit. Continues with Shelby Cassesi.
I got shit to do today. But yeah, so that wasn't it, though. That wasn't the only one. We got another one here. This comes out of clickondetroit.com. As we Police Chief James Craig also talked about the amount of people who were coming in from the city, like coming in from the suburbs to demonstrate in Detroit and tear shit up. Here we go.
Both our community leaders, activists, and protest organizers. And let me start by saying that the protest organizers, you know, stated at the very beginning, they praised the Detroit Police Department. They stressed that this was nothing to do with the work that we do each and every day. We were very thankful for that. And some of the organizers, quite frankly, have not always agreed with us. But they've always been willing to sit down and have a discussion. So to the organizers, we're deeply thankful. And when the tide turned and a very few decided to engage in violence, it was the organizers that denounced the violence and said, we're not here for this. But I also want to support, and there's so many, like Detroit 300 that recovered a stolen taser from one of our officers who were out highly visible, and the many other community leaders and activists who didn't stand in the back. They stood with us, they walked with us, and they interfaced with the protesters and then those who had other agendas. So again, thank you for assisting us being on the front lines. So I'm going to just talk very briefly about my message. It's simple. We will continue to support protesters in getting out their message. Support it. However, to those who threaten the safety of our community, our police officers, and damage property, we will not tolerate your criminal actions. And our response will be both measured and effective. I just find it so interesting that these that have other agendas to undermine, while so many are trying to get out the right message, that they chant Black Lives Matter. And then I had to reflect for a moment and says, does it really? It's no secret Detroit has the highest, one of the highest population of African Americans of any major city in this country. But yet you know that we're still actively battling a crisis, COVID-19. We also know that African Americans are 3 or 4 times more likely to contract this deadly disease or die from this deadly disease. So as a survivor, I question your motive when you disregard a well-known fact. Why? Just one question.
And all right. So this video is 1 hour long. I didn't realize it was that long, but we're going to read a little bit from this article. And it says, hold on a second, let me pull that down. Oh, I didn't even pull it up. But it says, let's read from the article. It says, Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan, Police Chief James Craig, and faith leaders delivered a powerful message to protesters from suburban cities who participated in Friday night's violent George Floyd demonstration. Somebody actually got shot and killed down there in downtown Detroit a couple nights ago during those demonstrations. Said, my message is simple. If you want to disrupt, stay home and disrupt your own community, said Detroit Police Chief James Craig. Duggan and faith leaders who spoke at the press conference reiterated their message. My message today is for the folks that want to participate in peaceful protests, want to deal with police accountability and responsibility, do it in your own community. If Black Lives Matter, advocate for those officers in your community in those suburbs and let them know, said Ray Winans, CEO of Keeping Them Alive. He believes the outcome would have been different if people from Detroit protested in the suburbs. If any of our black and brown boys from Detroit would have went to the suburbs and threw bricks and rocks, I'm sure they would have been seeing CNN World News story, because they probably would have gotten murdered had they been in any of those suburban cities. According to Chief Craig, a total of 60 protesters were arrested Friday night. He says that number includes 15 women and 45 men. Of the men arrested, only 17 were from the city of Detroit. Only 6 of the women were from the city of Detroit. He says the protesters came from cities including Westland, Farmington Hills, Grand Blanc, Hamtramck, West Bloomfield, Warren, Lincoln Park, Clarkson, and Dearborn. Reverend Wendell Anthony of the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People talked about how peaceful demonstrations can still prompt change. Real activists know how to act. I have marched from Mongolia to West Southwest Africa to South Africa to Ghana to Washington to Atlanta to New York to Los Angeles to Grand Blanc to Livonia to Detroit to D.C. to North Carolina and never tore up nothing, and the point has been made. We are in solidarity with everyone who wants to protest. We believe in protest. We know how to protest, but we know how to do it right, he said. So, one of the underlying messages that I kind of want to like convey here is we believe so much in how fucked up we are supposed to be that we perpetuate that message so much so that white folks ain't even got to do it no more, because we believe it ourselves. White supremacy has been so soaked into the consciousness of this nation that even we believe the worst in us, right? Even we will believe in the worst in us. As a matter of fact, there's a couple of videos that I got of people, white people, perpetuating some of these crimes and black protesters begging them not to. As a matter of, let me pull this up, because this shit is maddening, yo. It's maddening. So, all right, here we go. As my computer starts to drag, ain't that about a bitch? Ah, come on, man. All right.
I can't believe that. Now they circling. Hey. See them, look.
Please don't do this.
I want you to know this is not.
Don't police people's way.
Let me tell you this. This is not a black woman who's putting Black Lives Matter. I just want you to know. That when? Right, but y'all doing that for us, and we ain't asking you to do that. Listen, don't spray stuff out here when they gonna blame black people for this, and black people didn't do it.
If
we wanted you to do it, we would have asked. They not gonna show y'all faces when they see that on their building. They gonna blame that on us. Y'all are part of the problem. News come on, they gonna say we did that. We did.
Now think about this for a second, man. Think about the audacity of a white person to feel like, yo, I am such an ally to you niggers that I am such an ally that I will disavow any sort of, you know, request that you have of me and just go about my own thing, because you know what? This is what I want to do. You niggers can't tell me how to protest on your behalf. You can't do that. So you got white people out here vandalizing, setting fires, breaking windows under the auspices of, yo, I'm supporting the movement for George Floyd. It's bullshit, man. And I want y'all to be mindful of that while y'all are talking about these black people out here who are out in the streets, upset rightfully, peacefully protesting, right? Now, I know y'all all got y'all feelings about why y'all looting these stores and stuff like they ain't got nothing to do with George Floyd, this, that, and the other. I hear you. But at the same time, while you pointing your fingers at them, a lot of y'all sitting at home not doing shit, but talking about them. You want to fight? You agree with the guy? I'm fighting. Yeah, this is messed up. But you ain't about to go out there and do nothing. So you gonna be mad at the people who are gonna go out there and do something? Nah, I ain't got no room for that. I ain't got no time for that, man. Like, yo, you can have that shit by yourself. I'm not entertaining that conversation with you whatsoever. I'm just not gonna do it. So this I'm sick of us sometimes being our own like worst critic, man. Like, and there's this respectability shit that I think a lot of this kind of falls into, right? A lot of y'all feel like this, you know, how this gonna look to white people, right? How they gonna respect us if we not respecting ourselves? We not even respecting our own neighborhoods, man. How they gonna respect us if we can't respect ourselves? All this other shit. I'm gonna tell you right now. White people ain't respecting you. Whether you wear a suit and tie or whether you wear your pants off your ass, white people don't respect you. They don't. They don't need any excuse. They already don't fuck with you. That's just what it is. The most peaceful person that they put up in front of you, they'll give you a sanitized version of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., tell you all about his I Have a Dream speech. They never really tell you about the time when he was talking about coming to get that check, right? They were always, McDonald's now has Martin Luther King Jr. commercials and stuff, you know? Like, IBM has Martin Luther King Jr. commercials and everything. When the Martin Luther King holiday comes around, all they talk about is how peaceful Dr. King was, right? When Dr. King started talking about helping poor people, guess what? They shot Dr. King. This dude that they tell you how peaceful he was a beacon of morality and hope and everything else in this country. They shot him. They killed him in his suit. Right? They don't care. So I'm gonna need a lot of y'all to like unchain yourselves from the idea of you caring about what white people think about shit. I'm going to need you to unchain yourself from that idea. For real. Because whether you are a suit and tie wearing brother, or whether you wear your pants off your ass, white people already have an idea about you. And mostly it's, you still a nigga. Bottom line. So unchain yourself from the idea of giving a damn what white people think about you. Be your authentic black self. Damn them. Unchain yourself from that idea that you got to worry about how white people are thinking about you expressing your blackness. And my grandma is watching me right now, but y'all know I would be saying something else. I would be saying something else. Real talk. So, yeah, man, I'm going to just tell y'all, man, like I'm real sick and tired, and my patience is kind of wearing thin with a lot of stuff when it comes to this, when it comes to us shitting on our own because they are expressing their anger in a way in which we wouldn't. Right? It's sickening, man. It's sick in my gut, and I'm just like, man, y'all are fucking stupid. Like, and it's just, I'm trying not to be that way, man. I swear to God, I'm trying to have a lot more patience for a lot of people because I understand this too. Like, I read a lot. I read a lot of books. I pay attention to a lot of news, man. And so I may be paying attention to this. A lot of folks might not be. So I'm trying to have some level of understanding of that. But at the same time, we got to like pull ourselves out of putting our foots on our own necks because we got young people out here doing some of the stuff that we probably should have been doing for them in the first place. Right? So that's in Proud to Be an American. Now, another story that we got here in Proud to Be an American is the fact that George Floyd's brother actually spoke to Donald Trump. And he said that Donald Trump actually didn't even really give him a chance to speak at all. He said George Floyd's brother said that Trump didn't even give me an opportunity to even speak during a phone call with the family.
God damn!
So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of CNN.com. It said George Floyd's family spoke to both President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden this week following Floyd's death in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Excuse me. Speaking to MSNBC's Al Sharpton, George's brother, Philance Floyd, said his conversation with President Trump was so fast. He didn't give me an opportunity to even speak, Floyd said. It was hard. I was trying to talk to him, but he just kept like pushing me off. Like, I don't want to hear what you're trying to talk about. And I just told him I want justice. I said that I couldn't believe that they committed a modern day lynching in broad daylight, he said. I asked Vice President Biden. I've never had to beg a man before, but I asked him, could he please get justice for my brother, Floyd said. I need it. I do not want to see him on a shirt just like the other guys. Nobody deserved that. Black folks don't deserve that. We're all dying, he said. Black lives matter. CNN has reached out to the family and has not heard back. Trump said Friday that he had spoken to the Floyd family but didn't reveal details of the conversation. He said, I want to express our nation's deepest condolences and most heartfelt sympathy to the family of George Floyd, Trump said during a roundtable event at the White House. Later adding, I spoke to members of the family, terrific people. Floyd, who was 46, died Monday after being arrested by Minneapolis police. Public outrage grew after the video surfaced throwing an officer kneeling on Floyd's neck, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, the idea that like Donald Trump being able to console a family, like we've seen multiple instances of this now. Like Donald Trump is perfect, like is not capable of being able to be a consoler in chief in any form. Like we've seen that. Donald Trump went out on his Twitter feed and start talking about like when the looting starts, the shooting starts. This is coming from the president of the United States. Twitter actually had to put a warning or a fact check like, yo, man, this kind of violates our terms of service. But because it's the president of the United States, we're going to leave it up. But we're going to allow for you to see this. Right. But this is what he puts out there. So he's not only stoking some of the anger that is happening with the protesters, but he's also dog whistling to his racist supporters. They're like, yo, y'all might be able to go ahead and get y'all some free shots off, right? Here's the other part, man, because I know a lot of Republican people who are out here, they're looking at some of the like the demonstrations. Some of y'all got y'all posting y'all guns and everything else on social media. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, everybody on the left ain't strapless. Okay? Let y'all know that right now. Not all of us are anti-gun. Some of us got some nice hardware to deal with and to work with. Don't fool yourself into thinking that everybody who out there don't got some hardware too. Don't do it. It might not work out the same way that you think is going to work out. All right. So yeah, man, we got that going on. Trump didn't even let the damn people speak, man. That's in Proud to Be an American. Now our last story here in Proud to Be an American is, so like I said, there were protests actually happening in Utah. Like, of all places, Utah, who would have thunk, right? But there was this dude who actually attacked protesters in Utah and then blamed black people for him getting his ass whooped after he attacked the protesters in Utah.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Let me pull this up, because there's actually video of this entire exchange. So, let's see. Okay, so this is on Twitter. All right, so this is, hold on, the damn video automatically starts on Twitter. Let me pull this back and pull this up so y'all can watch right along with me here. Wait a second. Let me pull that back down. Let's do this here. Let's hide that. And now let's do that. All right. All right. So here we go. Check this video out, y'all. He got a bow and arrow, y'all.
Look at this. You call yourself an American?
Yes, I'm American. All lives matter.
That's right, but they won't matter until we're... Don't you dare! This is his car.
It looked like a whole lot of white people, like, whooping his ass. I'm just saying. This is Utah. All right.
Look at this.
So that's the first part of it. He threatened black. He threatened the protesters with a bow and arrow. A black guy charged at him to keep him from shooting the bow and arrow. He got the bow and arrow off. Then a gang of white people start whooping his ass. Right. So check this out. He spoke to the media after that happened. And wait, is that this here? OK, so, yeah, they interviewed him on the local Fox affiliate. Check this out, y'all.
That he was screaming outside of his car that all lives matter.
And then we saw something that appeared to be very different on social media, so we regret to inform you that we did see that video.
Is that his car on fire?
Some sort of a bow and arrow and pointing it around in the direction of protesters, and that may have very well led to what you saw there with his beaten up face, and it looked very different from what we saw. You can see this video here just into our newsroom. That's the gentleman we did speak to earlier, but this video very new to us, and it appears that he was taken down by people here.
Right,
you can see some of this, and we apologize for the graphic material that you might see, but this is a very different story than what we were told.
Again, that man had an interview with Bob Evans where he was bloodied and bruised, claiming that he was just targeted and was just trying to help police. But as you can see from that video there, newer angle there of him pulling out a bow and arrow.
Okay, so where's the interview, though? Because he did an interview with these people. Damn it, I had it, and I don't know what I did with it. Okay, that's cool, though. Because, like I said, he went on that Fox affiliate, and they're clearly saying that he told them something different. He said he got attacked by a couple black guys. It was clearly white people who whooped his ass. But if they can, they will blame you, right? Which is also part of the reason why it's so maddening for us to be blaming us for the shit that we ain't got no control over, bruh. We ain't got no control over whether or not white people gonna respect black people or whether or not they gonna respect the protest or whatever else. Like, here's the thing. Like, white people were the ones who were telling you that, like, Colin Kaepernick was un-American while he was kneeling by himself, not saying shit, right? Colin Kaepernick had a peaceful protest. Colin Kaepernick had a silent protest, and white people lost their minds. Right? You think all of a sudden, like, they gonna respect this too? No, they don't care how you protest. If you're protesting, against white supremacy, they don't give a damn. They hate no matter what you do. Right? So, yeah, man. Like I said, I almost didn't do this show. I almost didn't. I was going to go the weekend and just say, like, nah, I'm not going to do it. But there was so many different things happening. I had so many different thoughts on my mind about how people were reacting to it and how I was seeing it play out on my social media, man. That, like, I just kind of felt like, yo, I would be doing myself a disservice and not get on the mic this weekend, man. Real talk. But, yo, man, that's been Proud to Be an American. That I'm proud to be. All right, but y'all know what time it is.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
All right. I would play that longer, though, but YouTube and Facebook be tripping on the copyrights and stuff, so y'all know how I go. But, yo, it's champ of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast, man. And our champs of the week this week here are, one, the protesters, those who are out there putting their bodies and their lives in front of the danger of battling with some of these police. And also Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, man. Because Lori Lightfoot, for one, although I didn't get a chance to vote for her because I don't live in Chicago no more, but, like, she probably would have had my vote because I was not going to, like, something about that Preckwinkle lady just didn't seem, like, ever sit right with me. But Lori Lightfoot went out to, like, just kind of tell it like it was when it came to Donald Trump, man. And anybody who's going to give Donald Trump the finger, I kind of roll with. But before we get to talking about Lori Lightfoot, man, the protesters, listen, I'm with you. I hear you. A lot of the movement in this case wouldn't have happened without you. I hope everybody gets home safe. I know it's sad that we're still having to do this in 2020, right? That's the thing, like kind of sticks with me more and more. Like, it's sad that we here in 2020, we're still battling some of the same battles that, like, kind of kicked off in a major way 60 years ago. Like, we started this podcast off with the words of Fannie Lou Hamer 60 years ago. And to still be battling with this is it's sad, man. And I know, like, people always talk about, like, yo, we had a black president, man, and, like, Barack Obama didn't do nothing, and this, that, and other. And I kind of take issue with that, but because there was a lot of obstruction that happened while that man was trying to run this country. But, hey, man, the fact that we are still having to deal with this is an indictment upon this country in and of itself. And so we have an election coming up in 2020. I would implore everybody to get your ass up and go vote. I know a lot of y'all around here talking about y'all don't want to vote for Joe Biden. Listen here, he wasn't my pick either, but anything right now will be better than what we got in that place right now. And I know a lot of you Bernie Sanders supporters are upset. Hey, man, get over that shit. Go vote. And go vote for Joe Biden. One of the reasons I say that is because we talked about that case in Florida where they tried to stop people from voting. And it was a federal judge who overturned that law so that people are going to have a chance to go vote. Guess what? The president of the United States submits those submissions, those nominations for who gets to sit on those federal benches. If you're voting for nothing else, vote for somebody who's going to sit on that federal bench to have some way of it leaning your way somewhat. Right. It's not going to always be perfect. It never will always be perfect. This country is never going to be perfect. Right. But if you can lean it to your way a little bit, then you should take every opportunity to do so. So while we're looking at how this country has dealt with COVID-19, while we're looking at how this country is dealing with police brutality and having a president who fans the flames of hate and fans the flames of division and fans the flames of racism all throughout this nation, why would you sit your ass on the side and allow for it to continue and claim that you are an ally to black people? I ain't trying to hear that shit. So if you're listening to Charlamagne Tha God talking about a black agenda, if you're listening to Ice Cube talking about holding the vote up, if you're listening to P. Diddy talking about holding the vote up, guess what? Them niggas gonna be all right. They rich. You ain't. You might not survive a lot of this shit. Stop listening to them fools, because they are so far removed from your experience in this nation right now. So far removed. Get your ass up and go vote. Now, to Lori Lightfoot. Lori Lightfoot, man, I'm becoming more and more of a fan from a distance, man. Like I said, Lori Lightfoot ain't really playing no games when it comes to Donald Trump, man. Real talk. Like, she, I fucks with Lori, man. Like, she the shit. She the shit. So, I thought I had video, but of course, this comes out of the Sun-Times. But Lori Lightfoot responded to Donald Trump's tweet about the protesters in Minneapolis, and she said, "It begins with F and ends with you." Mayor Lori Lightfoot on Friday accused President Donald Trump of trying to foment violence and offered a vulgar response in code after he threatened Minneapolis rioters protesting the death of George Floyd at the hands of police. "We see the game he's playing because it's so transparent and he's not very good at it. He wants to show failure. Failures on the part of the Democratic local leaders to throw red meat to his base. His goal is to polarize, to destabilize local government and inflame racist urges, and we can absolutely not let him prevail. I will code what I really want to say to Donald Trump in two words. It begins with F and ends with you." On Thursday night, President Trump took to Twitter to as protesters surrounded a Minneapolis police station as it set it to fire. He characterized the protesters as thugs and tweeted, "Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz and told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty and we will assume control, but when the looting starts, the shooting starts." On Friday, Lightfoot accused the president, with whom he has clearly clashed repeatedly, of attempting to foment violence. She made no apologies for the vulgar reference that ran contrary to the advice of former First Lady Michelle Obama's infamous line that when they go low, we go high. I'm gonna tell you right now, man, a lot of people are just tired of that shit. That just is what it is. You know? So yeah, man. Man, I've been on here running my mouth for a while and my voice is getting tired. But let me remind you guys, it's almost time. It's time for me to get ready to get up out of here. But before we get up out of here, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Poor Podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit up our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. This area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get read here live on the show. Played here live on the show, I'm sorry, and responded to in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Go ahead, leave us those emails, and of course, those emails will get read here and responded to as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so you can go ahead, follow me there, chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. You can also hit up our website at www.thespanreport.com. Go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we put those boys up. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like, and of course we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. You can also buy some stuff about our store, man. Get yourself a fly t-shirt like the one Span got on right now. You know what I'm saying? Get yourself some merch, man. Hook us up that way. But yeah, man, go ahead and get yourself some merch. And also, man, hit us up on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio with a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. But, yo, man, I'm tired. I've been running my mouth for an hour and a half. So it's been cool, and I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.